April 27th. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to Spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, and you will be able to see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. For questions or comments today during the program, email Spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is Deanna@Spingola.com. We will not be taking calls today, so remember Spingola1@yahoo.com if you have a question. If you wish to support the RBN Pledge Drive, you may call 800-724-2719. You may also support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website, including business cards and bumper stickers, or by subscribing to the archives at a higher rate than the usual $1.33 per month, or purchase some advertising if you have a product or service to sell. You may do that by calling 800-724-2719 or going to republicbroadcasting.org. My guest today is Veronica Clark. Veronica is the author of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, A New Look at Hitler's Armed Forces. This came out in February 2011. And Black Nazis, A Study of Racial Ambivalence in Nazi Germany's Military Establishment. And Black Nazis II, Ethnic Minorities and Foreigners in Hitler's Armed Forces, The Unbiased History. Veronica is the translator and editor of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, The Hyenas of High Finance. Her most current book is Hitler and Himmler Uncensored. Her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. Okay, so Veronica, would you please say a few words about Nathan B. Katz and his ridiculous claims on Amazon regarding Black Nazis to ethnic minorities and foreigners in Hitler's armed forces, The Unbiased History?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, you dropped off.
I had a couple
off,
issues.
But you're back.
I lost my internet connection for just a second there. Yeah, the funny thing is he wrote that review and applied it to the, it was actually the second printing of the book that it was only slightly revised from the original thesis. And that particular version does not deny the Holocaust. I pretty much avoid it for the most part, but it certainly doesn't deny it. So he didn't read the book. I know that for a fact. I don't know what it is about my thesis or my ideas that he has clinged on to me, but I'm actually kind of flattered at this point because apparently this guy's father is the ambassador to Portugal, and he has a direct link to his father from that. I sent you the link. It's an article about his being recruited as an assistant professor to the University of Cincinnati.
Right.
Yeah, yes. And that's his only review. So he's never bothered to review anything on Amazon except my one edition of that book. There's now a third release, and that release, you know, is pretty much my most honest one. That's for, you know, revisionists.
Right. Now the reason that you say your most honest one, the reason that you say that is because when you first released this particular thesis, it was because you needed it for a paper at school. What was it? Oh, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, tell us about the first one.
Okay.
And why you're saying honest. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call Bob New today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call Bob New today, 888-639-2621.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Today is Veronica Clark, and you were going to tell us about Professor, and I use the word lightly, Nathan B. Katz's claims on Amazon. And when he wrote his review, he said that he was a professor at a university, and he didn't really say which one. And then we did kind of a little check on him and found out that he was with the university in Cincinnati. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and he's an assistant professor, which, you know,
yes,
not quite up to par, but yeah. So anyway, as far as like what I mean by honesty is as far as what is actually true, in my opinion, I don't accept the Holocaust story, of course. So the third release of Black Nazis 2 is more honest in that respect. That's pretty much what I'm talking about. And of course, I found even more information on some of the blacks who served under Hitler, so I put that in there. And the phrase Black Nazis actually comes from Ken magazine. So it's not even something that was invented at this point. It was used to refer to the blacks that were recruited by the Germans in Africa, and it's derogatory. It's meant to berate them and belittle them.
Yeah, so, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a good, a very interesting discussion today. And you wanted to start out with the fluoride myth, and it's very interesting that the United States started using fluoride in the water as early as 1945. And you know, a lot of people say that, oh, Hitler did this, He put, you know, had fluoride put into the water of the in Germany to keep everybody dumb and you know, lethargic and everything. And yeah, we've been used, the government and the medical establishment, and well, actually the powerful politicians have kept fluoride in the water for, you know, since 1945. I mean, that's pretty interesting. I mean, if it's so bad, why are we doing it? And if they want to castigate Hitler, which he actually didn't do this, I mean, it's just interesting that if it's so bad, then why is the United States doing it?
Exactly, exactly. Well, I mean, I think ultimately what we see is that we're the ones who are mostly in charge of doing all the things that we have accused Hitler of doing. And it's one of those cases of projection in order mm-hmm. to justify everything the Allies did. I cannot find any evidence whatsoever for Nazi fluoridation of any water. You know, I have Joseph Borkin's book, which is the one that A. True Ott quotes. It's not in there. There's no reference to fluoride that I could find anywhere in that book. So what's interesting is Ott says that the very first occurrence of purposefully putting sodium fluoride into drinking water was in the German ghettos and in Nazi Germany's infamous prison camps. He claims that the Gestapo did this, and they did it specifically to sterilize women and men, I guess, to sterilize humans so that they couldn't reproduce. The thing is the Gestapo was not in charge of Konzentrationslager, you know, the concentration camps. That was the SS. That was complete SS jurisdiction. That's the first thing that struck me. And then the second thing, he gives no citation for that. He just says, oh, by the way, for reference, see The Crime and Punishment of I.G. Farben by Joseph Borkin. Well, it's not in there. So what he ultimately ends up doing is he runs to this Charles Perkins alleged letter written to the Lee Foundation for Nutritional Research on October 2nd, 1954. And that guy, we don't know who his source was. Charles Perkins claims he spoke with an I.G. Farben guy who was an ex-Nazi and knew about this program. But mm-hmm. who was the guy? We have no name, no rank, nothing. None of his studies, no paper. There's not a single paper on any of this. No German documents. Which, with a program that huge, there would be vast documentation of it.
Right. As fastidious as they were about keeping track of everything, they're very efficient. There would have been some evidence if they, in fact, did such a thing. But right. they didn't.
Right. And here's another thing. Philip Mueller, in his 3 years in the gas chambers, which is that book is like, I'd say probably 90% fraud. I mean, he certainly was never in a gas chamber and miraculously got pulled out by the SS guy in charge. But he does mention, like many of these survivors, the overcrowding in the Auschwitz quote-unquote death camp as a result of all the new births there. If there were all these new births and it was getting severely overcrowded because of it, what happened to the Nazi sterilization goal? And Poland also experienced a post-war baby boom that only German writers have looked into and analyzed. It's startling because not only were the Poles obviously not sterilized with fluoride, but how much did they possibly suffer if there was such an incredible post-war baby boom? It doesn't make sense.
No.
So that's another thing. And as far as no resistance and making the people cattle-like, not in the East, there were Tito's partisans, the Red Army partisans. There were various nationalist uprisings in Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, all those countries, especially in Greece. They were never cowed by the Germans. So if there was fluoride in their water, it was an epic fail, basically. It didn't work.
Right.
And another problem I have is he does try to pin this on this Kremenov guy from the Soviet Union. He claims that Kremenov, I'm not sure if this is Ott, let's see, no, it's Perkins, Perkins claims that this Russian communist Kremenov brought the idea of fluoridation to England originally, and then he tries to somehow attribute the responsibility for that to the Germans, that the Germans planted this evil idea into this communist's head. But if the Soviets used fluoride, then why did they resort to famine to bring their people in line if they could have just used fluoride in the water supply?
Interesting. But, you know, people like Ott and some other folks will just attribute to the Nazis any possible negative thing that they possibly can, and without citing sources. And It's unfortunate because it's that 90-10 kind of a thing where they give 90% right. truth and they throw in 10% lies. And so you accept it because, well, after all, they are good researchers, right?
Exactly, right. And as far as corroborating this, the only thing he could come up with was an article by a Dr. E.H. Bronner, who happens to be the nephew of Albert Einstein, allegedly, in the Catholic Mirror, which is an obsolete paper, in Springfield, Massachusetts, from January 1952. So we have to rely on the eyewitness testimony, if you will, of a Dr. E.H. Bronner to corroborate what Perkins says. And, you know, I mean, who is this guy? Does anybody know anything about Dr. E.H. Bronner? I couldn't find anything on him other than that one article by A. Truat that always comes up on the internet. So that's what I have to say. And here's the thing. If this individual was in, he says he was in a World War II POW camp. Well, I'm assuming he was in a German camp. I don't know for sure because he doesn't specifically say that. Why wasn't he fluoridated?
Yes, why didn't he
it's
lose
just
all
silly.
His memory? Yes.
Yeah, he should be all dumbed down and unable to even say this.
Right.
So.
Well, I guess that takes care of that little myth. So next time, folks, next time that you hear this myth, please be sure and remember what was just said.
Right. Don't let him get to you.
One of those myths. So many of them.
Exactly. I guess that can bring us to this next myth, which is Hitler was a psychopath. I have not found. I've gotten into debates with people many years ago about this. They're like, "Wow, if you look at his record, I mean, he had no affect. He was artificial. You know, he was." Bent on world domination, all these things that just aren't true. If one is to just slowly but surely collect and read all of the memoirs written about Hitler, the person that pointed this out and said he was a psychopath was specifically referring to the Gustl Kubitschek memoirs. I believe it's My Young Friend Hitler or something like that.
All right.
The problem with that memoir is that it was written about Hitler when he was going through a very difficult time in his life. He had just lost his father not too long ago. He just lost his mother recently. He was kind of thrown out on his own. He had fallen from like this nice bourgeois comfortable living to literally on the street. The economy was absolutely in the tank. He was in a horrible, horrible place. Vienna was basically, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but it was literally like a hellhole. And, you know, he and Gustl talk about this. There were rats all over in where they were living and the places where they were living. They had just kind of this thick smoke, smog, disgust hanging in the sky. It just wasn't all clean and beautiful, you know, from pollution and whatnot. So I think we need to bring that into the equation. Hitler's not going to be Mr. Chipper when that's his living circumstances.
Of
and
course.
None
of us
go
would
ahead.
Be. We do right. have to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
What would would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Keravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Keravim? Simple. Keravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372. Or go to teravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Teravim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Guest today is Veronica Clark, and we were talking about Hitler and his personality, and the OSS actually did a paper on him. It was written by a Henry A. Murray, a Dr. Murray, who was associated with the Harvard Psychological Clinic, and the name of this thing is called Analysis of the Personality of Adolf Hitler, with predictions of his future behavior and suggestions for dealing with him now and after Germany's surrender. And quite interestingly, it was published October 1943. And it really paints him as some kind of a nut. So this is probably provides some foundation for what people believe.
What's this? Because that is already, I mean, it's psychoanalysis is pretty much debunked. And that comes from Freud, and that's what these guys all rely on.
Right.
So, I have come across a pattern with Hitler. How would I put it? It's basically like a codependent addict type pattern that one can observe throughout his life. So, and it starts to emerge, I believe, after the death of his younger brother, Edmund. I think it's either Edmund or Edward Hitler. Hitler was very close to his little brother, and he died, you know, from some, you know, common thing that it was tuberculosis or something like that. So we see our first example in his life of I get really close to someone and I lose them. And what happens is he's extremely close to his mother and loses her when he's very young. So he didn't, I think he didn't have enough time to get over her. You know, usually we're not prepared to lose our mothers until we're much older, well into adulthood and established. It's much, much more difficult, especially when we don't have a close, good relationship with our fathers. And Hitler didn't have a close, good relationship with his father. I think we can honestly say we don't know for sure what his father was like. We know that he did drink. He did frequent bars. He wasn't real. He could have possibly had affairs. I get that impression. So what we need to admit with the Hitler situation is that his mother was codependent to his father. And when you start getting a codependent addict situation in your life, you tend to start living up to that as well. And what you'll find is the women in Hitler's life and the relationships he has are codependent to him. So we can't say that he's a psychopath simply because there's that addict coda situation there. So that would have had to be resolved by, you know, therapy, basically, which Hitler never went to any therapists for that kind of treatment. So, you know, later on when we see Gelly Raubel, he gets really close to her and loves her more than anything, really, since his mother's death and his brother's death, and loses her. So again, it's this pattern where when he gets really close to somebody, he loses them. So what you start seeing with Hitler is he throws up these walls and doesn't let people get really close to him. That also tends to be a personality trait in your addict personality. And they call it an adult child of an alcoholic, ACA, which would be what Hitler was as a result of, you know, his father. So that is really what I think people are seeing in the Kubitschek memoirs. And then on top of that, just the hideous context in which he was living. And, you know, once that context is gone and he's doing well, you start to just see that in his relationships with, like, Albert Speer, with Otto Wagener. They all say the same thing. They say there was something where, you know, you thought Hitler was really your close friend or buddy, but he put up that wall and you couldn't quite get really close to him. And so they thought there was something a little off about him. But again, this isn't due to psychopathy. It's because of his family situation. And, you know, one can see this in any ACA adult.
Exactly. That's true.
Right. And
sometimes experience.
Yeah, and sometimes they'll seem to have the traits of what someone would call a psychopath. But what you really see is a defense mechanism.
Sure.
They don't want to get close. You know, they have these unresolved issues from childhood that they never got treated and resolved, and they keep popping back up. So, and here's one thing that's important about the whole empathy thing. Because people say, well, Hitler didn't have empathy. You know, he ran the Germans until they were absolutely destroyed, blah, 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 for his own ends. The thing is though, is an apparent lack of empathy could also be just as well an inability to express empathy to others, not the lack of feeling it. There's no doubt that Hitler felt empathy for animals, other people, etc. There are numerous little anecdotal pieces of information in various memoirs that prove this. So,
right,
that's not
Alrighty.
The case.
We do have to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no problem.
Alrighty, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, John, you know, we were kind of wondering
what?
That, well, we knew you guys were saving stuff and getting ready for something like
yes.
this.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say
the is, answer's no.
Man, I've been your friend for 20 years. We played on the company softball team together.
We simply don't have enough food.
But I'm your friend.
Look, Norbert, I came to you 3 years ago, and you basically called me crazy and walked away.
But...
Sorry.
Bummer.
Folks, they may be rolling their eyes at you now, but they'll be on your front porch when it all hits the fan. So why don't you mosey on over to TexasReady.net and order up a Liberty Seed Bank for you, your shirt-tailed relatives, and all your non-prepping friends. Order your bank at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas Ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Guest today is Veronica Clark, and her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. Again, VeraIconaPublishers.org. And you were talking about what people refer to as some kind of a psychopathy that Hitler allegedly had. But then, as you describe his situation, I mean, he was acting very appropriately, and certainly. As many people who have had a similar circumstance act, and you indicate that it's a defense mechanism. And really, I mean, when you think about any kind of disadvantages that people have, and then what they do with those disadvantages and overcome them, I would say that he was an individual who overcame the disadvantages that he experienced in his younger years.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. He's an individual who overcame them just without a therapist to let him know where that stuff was coming from. You know, and back then, psychology was terrible. It was still, strange and speculative, and it just wasn't
still
scientific.
Is.
Yeah, it still is. It's not. Some doctors and scientists still do not accept psychology as a true science. So, yeah, you always have that problem.
And the other thing is,
that's how it is.
Hitler was, I mean, he's a man. And guys are reticent about talking about their feelings and things like that. So I think that he was probably acting very appropriately.
Right. I can't picture Hitler talking to a therapist.
I can't.
Just can't. Anyway, so yeah, lack of empathy, of course, is one of the number one traits of a psychopath. Anybody can just go on Wikipedia and start reading through the personality dimensions of a psychopath, and they're going to see that Hitler does not meet them. You know, you have the superficial charm. Hitler was not a superficial charmer. He genuinely charmed people and cared about them. And this is just a repeated theme in any of the memoirs of his secretaries and whatnot. He went out of his way to make people comfortable. It was never, you know, no one ever suspected, yeah, he just did that to fulfill his own ego, whatever. That just does not come through. The grandiose sense of self-worth, you get a little tiny bit of that because the man is a leader and he recognizes in himself the ability to lead and organize a massive movement like he did. You're always going to have some egocentrism in a person like that. And if you do not have that, you do not have a leader. It's just not possible. So as far as pathological lying, no. Hitler almost never lied. He'd maybe fib a little bit to improve his own image, like in Mein Kampf or whatever, but everybody does that. I don't know a single person who hasn't done that, like on a job resume or something. So sure. That's not an issue. Was he cunning and manipulative? Not in a psychopathic sense. Every single human being, just with basic psychological principles, will try to manipulate other people into coming to their point of view or doing what they have in mind. It depends on whether the manipulation is negative, positive. And Hitler certainly was not like a negative manipulator leading people into trouble kind of a thing. Lack of remorse or guilt, I don't see that at all. I think Hitler did feel very responsible for the war and everything that was happening. But here's the question, what was he supposed to do? I mean, the Allies gave him unconditional surrender. Britain, Russia, and the United States backed him into the situation he was in. They orchestrated this whole little nasty worldwide game, got 57 nations to declare war on Hitler and basically isolate him and Mussolini and the Japanese. What were any of them supposed to do? I mean, was Mussolini a psychopath because he brought Italy to destruction? Was Hannibal a psychopath because he brought Carthage to destruction? Were all the Roman emperors psychopaths? You know, you start finding this problem where everybody wants to just go, well, the leaders are all psychopaths. Some of them are. There's no doubt about it. But we cannot just go, hey, all leaders are psychopaths, or use that as our cop-out just because somebody is in a terrible situation such as that Hitler found himself in. And here's, you know, the thing is I've covered the genesis of Barbarossa in the Union Jackal. It's chapter 21. So anyone can read this. And here's just, let me point out this one quote from this, because this tells you that Hitler was not interested in invading the Soviet Union until 6 months before it actually happened. It says precisely during the period, and he says starting at around June 17th, 1940. So we're looking, you know, summer of 1940. Hitler planned a drastic reduction of the German army. Now, if you're not producing thousands and thousands of tanks, you're not even interested in it. You're starting to reduce and scale down. And you even say that we're done. The war in the West is ended. Maybe we can tackle it in the future. I may have to leave it to my successor. That is not a man who is bent on invading all of Europe.
Certainly. And given that the Allies, particularly Britain and the U.S., began working on super weapons in 1936, you can kind of tell who was really plotting and planning for a war. I mean, the whole thing of provoking Japan to get them in a war because Japan and Germany had an alliance is indicative of who actually started the war, provoked the war. And, right. You know, people always seem to to target Hitler as a psychopathic personality. But what about Churchill? What about Roosevelt? What about Stalin? Now, if you look at Churchill, I mean, this was a man who wore pink silk underwear and often had meetings when he was in the bathtub. He was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. He was a despicable person. Why don't we have 35 books about his psychopathy?
Right, exactly. And so, yeah, people try to cite, well, Hitler said, you know, it's all lost, and the best German people are already lost at the front, so to hell with the Germans. We do not know that he actually said that. I'm going to get to another quote or order, if you will, that was attributed to Hitler shortly on a totally unrelated subject, but we must be very careful what various people said Hitler said. If you weren't there, we really do not know for sure what was said. So, you know, they cite that as his callousness. You know, he brought this war on Germany and then told them to hell with them, you know. and that's just not true. Any reading of Koch's essay and his research and you know, even Stalin's Folly, you know, check out that book. It was the Soviet Union. They were much more aggressive. And Stalin is the one who had... He had infiltrated the German OODA loop, and the Germans were reacting to Stalin. Just because he got thrown back and his forces were unprepared, not real motivated, does not mean that he did not have aggressive intent.
Exactly. And if you look at the objectives of the Anglo, the Americans and the English before World War One, you know, going back to 1897, I mean, they were planning on war, and Germany was the target then. They didn't destroy it in World War One, so World War Two was simply a continuation of that first effort. And in between the wars, Stalin had agents in Germany attempting to destroy the government and attempting to create a Soviet country.
Correct. Right. And now there's that book by Sean McMeekin about the Russian origins of the First World War. See, the problem is we Western historians tend to just ignore the Soviet Union or Russia because it's just big and mysterious and it's likes to keep to itself. So we just kind of write it out of the history. But it played a pivotal role in both wars.
Sure did.
So, we have to start looking at the Soviet Union and incorporating that into the whole situation. I think that Stalin was a psychopath, honestly. I've read The Court of the Red Tsar, a lot of different books on his personality and just his feelings towards the Soviet population. That was a psychopath, I'd say.
Right.
You know, he literally used his soldiers as fodder and had no problem with it. He wrote off POWs like they were just garbage that needed to be exterminated. You do not get this from the German side. The Germans always feel like they have to justify their actions in some speech or something. I mean, even Himmler, he goes, well, you know, I know you guys don't like being hard on the Poles and blah, 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 but he feels he needs to justify, you know, everything he does. And so that's a person who's not totally committed and sure of what he's doing. So he's bringing in outside confirmation for what he's doing, you know, trying to get that feedback. Like, you know, this is what we need to do. I need to feel feedback too. So I feel that you're with me. If Himmler's forces had not agreed with him, they would not have supported him. He would not have been able to do what he did as far as being harsh with, you know, partisans and resistance behind the lines and saboteurs and whatnot. Unfortunately, war behind the lines involves civilians, and we've talked about this before. But again, the Germans always felt like they had to justify their actions. You do not get that from the Soviet side. They literally just wipe people out. End of story. They didn't need to justify themselves.
In the millions. We do have a question. The question is, so what kind of man was Hitler then? A stooge?
He certainly wasn't a stooge. And I've gone into Preparata's work, because Preparata kind of is, you know, Guido Preparata argues that he was a stooge.
Right.
I think that there's a strange love affair that Himmler and Hitler both entertained with Britain. And Wilf and I, we don't quite understand that. Both of them had this, you know, they're like the British, there are, you know, our racial cousins and our brothers, and, you know, they can have their little empire and we're just concerned with what's going on in Europe. And they just didn't take the British seriously enough. I don't know why, but it certainly wasn't because they were stooges or agents. Because again, it wasn't just Hitler that felt this way towards Britain. It was also Himmler. He excuses Britain in that one speech I have in Hitler and Himmler Uncensored, and you're going, Himmler, these people are destroying you. But well, for some reason, they kind of didn't have that same animosity towards Britain that they did towards Russia.
Well, I think that sometimes people have a sense of naivety where they really don't understand the agenda of another country, particularly when that country has always been somewhat pleasant to them. But you have to wonder, I mean, they were enemies in World War I, and Britain certainly, you know, embargoed Germany, and there was so much starvation during World War I. But I think that there was a sense of they were naive, perhaps, in thinking that...
Yeah.
That, well, you know, maybe they learned and, you know, everything is working out now okay. But I don't know. It is kind of unusual. But I think good people cannot conceive of the intentions, the negative, the evil intentions of other people, because it's not something that they would do themselves. So they cannot conceive of somebody else being that evil.
I definitely think there's kind of a psychopathic bent to English policy, in the sense that they were able to deceive very, very well. They played an amazing game of deception with regard to everybody. And the thing is Hitler was not pro-British in the sense that, you know, I love Britain and blah, 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 at least in his own notes. If one reads Hitler's letters and notes, which were published and translated by Werner Maser, you clearly see that Hitler saw that England was an enemy and that they had to be, you know, watched with a careful eye. The problem is the deception that comes in, all these wonderful Brits with their sweet accents and little Neville Chamberlain, you know, that stuff causes like major misreadings of, you know, the British. And even today, you see Britain doing things towards the United States that don't favor us, that favor like Germany and France instead of America, who the British are supposed to be closer to. I can't remember specifically what this was. It was some trade agreement or something like that that was recently done with Europe and Britain, between Europe and Britain, that basically canceled out the United States. So, and yet, do any of us or any of our leaders think that Britain is an enemy? Do any of us see Britain as an enemy of the United States? I don't really think so. So we need to kind of think of it that way.
Sure. And Chamberlain really was not for the war. He was not trying. He was totally different. And
right.
So they replaced him with Churchill. And
right.
So perhaps they got the idea, perhaps Hitler and Himmler got the idea, okay, we're working with him. Neville Chamberlain is, you know, he wants peace. And then all of a sudden you have somebody else thrown into the prime ministership. And it's warfare. And
right.
I mean, when you look at psychopathic personalities and psychopathic nations, I mean, to consider that that the Allies decided to take their people into war, that Roosevelt, who promised that he wouldn't take the, you know, the sons to war. I mean, all of our presidents, you know, Wilson said, oh, you know, he ran on the no war policy. Mm-hmm. The minute they were, you know, had opportunity to send all these youth off to war in Europe, that's what they did. Now, right. That's psychopathic. And that's mm-hmm. that's using cannon fodder, using your own people, and knowing that you're the ones that were promoting and pushing the war. Now, that's psychopathic.
Correct.
All righty. We do have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Our guest is Veronica Clark. Her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. If you were to, in just a couple of sentences, describe what kind of a man Hitler was, first of all, I see him as somebody that united the Germans. He didn't divide them and pitch them against each other. What else could you say about him? To demonstrate what kind of a person he was, and excuse me, go ahead.
I think he's a man who really and truly did live for his country. And, you know, these great men come once in a great while, and I suppose that if they win, they get all the praise and all the glory that, you know, I think they ultimately deserve. And if they lose, I think they just get especially viciously attacked. And people want answers as to, well, why did you lose? You must have been a psychopath or whatever the case is. They want to assign some flaw to this great person. Hitler's undoubtedly one of those personalities. I mean, he literally changed the course of European history. Some people say for the good, some say for the bad. And, you know, but I don't think anyone can deny that unlike his contemporaries and a lot of other leaders, he really and truly believed in what he was doing. And that's important. I mean, you know, leaders today, they don't believe in our war. It's just kind of there to make money for some corporations. No Americans are really involved in the Iraq war or the war in Afghanistan. They don't feel part of the whole thing. They don't feel like they're, you know, doing this for the nation and for the good. There's just a lack of any kind of identification with anything our leaders do. They're very self-serving. They're totally disconnected from, you know, the masses and the publics that they supposedly serve. I mean, I'm even seeing this big time in Europe, in Britain. It's a disgrace. And so I think that those are the kind of people that want to attack Hitler, because this guy actually really believed in what he was doing and really cared about the country and wanted to make its situation better, wanted to give to it what it deserved and what it had lost.
You know, if you look at the the program that they had, I mean, he was for preserving the farmer, for getting the bankers out of every business, so that the people who actually worked the land and worked for a living actually benefited from their own efforts, instead of having to give the banker some of their profit. And he did improve the economy. He did make it a better place to live, a better country to live in. And he did unite. And because when he first came in, there were all kinds of groups. There were the unions, and there were all these different diverse groups. And what he did was to unite everybody to stand behind the country.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, I mean, that was the rage of the day, was nationalism and also imperialism. So we can't fault him on what was acceptable back then.
Sure. And I think you also have to look at the response of the German people to him.
Right, exactly.
All right, we do have to take a 60-second break. We will be right back after a station ID.